We meet today a troubling Old Testament figure, Elijah. Elijah was called to minister in a very difficult time in Israel's history. After King Solomon's death, the kingdom split in two: the southern kingdom of Judah, where the temple was, and the larger northern kingdom of Israel. Elijah was called in Israel. The northern king, Ahab, continued the policies of his father in shifting a religious focus away from Jerusalem. After all, he didn't want his people going down to the rival kingdom down the road. And so he supported offering sacrifices at local temples instead of at the temple in Jerusalem. He appointed priests from outside the Levite tribe and encouraged the building of pagan temples. All these things contrary to the Jewish law. The last, the building of pagan temples, the most serious. Ahab was married to a pagan priestess, Jezebel, a princess of Sidon. The marriage and his policies brought political stability and increased trade between Sidon and Israel, and the country prospered. It was more secure and had a thriving economy. However, the priests were opposed to this marriage and to the revival of the pagan cults in Israel. Ahab the king accused Elijah of troubling Israel, but Elijah told the king that it was the king himself who troubled Israel and God, and he danced between the worship of God and the worship of Baal, the pagan god. Elijah said the king couldn't have it both ways. Elijah then proposed a test of the powers of the god Baal and God. The people of Israel and 450 prophets of Baal were summoned to Mount Carmel. Two altars were built, one for Baal, one for God. Wood was laid on the altars. Two oxen were slaughtered and cut in pieces. The pieces were laid on the wood. Elijah invited the priests of Baal to pray for fire to light the sacrifice. They prayed from morning to noon without success, and Elijah ridiculed their efforts. The Bible in the passage before Shirley read today says, "At noon Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, surely he's a god. Either he's mediating or he's wandered away. Perhaps he's gone on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep and needs to be awakened.' The priests continued praying until evening without success. Ever the showman, Elijah ordered that the altar of God be drenched in water. He asked God to accept the sacrifice. Fire fell from the sky, consuming the water, the sacrifice, and the stones of the altar as well. Not content with that, Elijah then ordered the deaths of the priests of Baal. Jezebel, furious that her priests had been murdered, seeks revenge, which is where today's reading starts. Elijah is on the run. But he's not only on the run, he's having a pity party. He moans to God about all that is wrong. He asks to die. He thinks he's the only prophet left, that everyone else has fallen into sin and followed Baal, the pagan god. God's response is interesting, and I think we can learn from it. First, God recognizes the state that Elijah was in: fearful, exhausted, and depressed. So first, God lets Elijah sleep. Then an angel is sent to bring Elijah food and drink. More sleep is allowed, and more food is given. God asks again what's wrong, but Elijah's mood hasn't changed, even though his belly is full. But after that religious experience of the wind and the earthquake and the fire, God gently corrects Elijah. He's not the only one left. Names are given of who to anoint as kings. A successor prophet is named. And God says 7,000 in Israel haven't worshipped Baal. All that at the end. So Elijah's perception is wrong. He's not alone. When we get depressed, we don't see things as they really are. We're prone to dwell on the negative, like Elijah in the story. We think we're the only ones in this situation, that no one understands, and we have ourselves a little pity party. It's a common response. When we're depressed, we may not sleep, or we may find that sleep doesn't bring rest. When we're depressed, we may not eat and drink properly. Some of us overeat or overdrink when we're depressed. Lack of rest and changing sleep patterns can distort how we see the world. When we get down, we need to rest, to eat properly, and to check out with what's going on, as our perception may be off kilter. A gentle friend who, like God, can ask the right questions can be very helpful. God in the story doesn't say to Elijah, "You're wrong," but he does give information which showed Elijah had misunderstood the situation. Like Elijah, many contemporary Christians often have a pity party about the state of the church. We often feel like we're the only ones left. Only 7.2% of the Scottish population attend church regularly. I tell you, in England, they'd kill for that stat, because it's about 4% in England. So twice as many Scots go to church as English. This is a huge drop over the last 30 years, and lots of things contribute to this. Sundays are a day of work for many. For others, it's the only day where family or friends can get together. A friend of mine, who is middle-aged before his time, says the rot started when the Forsyth saga was on TV on Sunday evenings and stopped people going to evening worship. The abuse scandals in the church have left people reeling. If you've been listening to the news this weekend, the BBC has been commenting on the fewer number of people that have gone to see Pope Francis in Ireland than the millions who went to see Pope John Paul II 40 years ago. He's at Knock this morning, a shrine to Mary in Connemara, and 45,000 people are going. A quarter of a million went to see John Paul II there. Now, Knock in Connemara is the middle of nowhere. It is a really hard place to get to, but the fact so few people are going indicates how Irish culture and the attitudes to the Catholic Church in Ireland have changed just in my lifetime. We have memories, possibly erroneous ones, of churches being full and think we're the only ones left. This means we can get glum, focused on ourselves, and just want the church to be an institution that will see us out, instead of thinking about what we pass on to the next generation. If we were to think about how God dealt with Elijah and transposed that onto the church, we might think of three things. First, rest. God allowed Elijah to sleep. The modern church is paradoxically very busy. Denominations have programs. We're encouraged to be messy, dementia-friendly, missional, with alpha groups, have blended worship through many traditions, lots of lay involvement, and play a full part of the life of our denomination through endless committee meetings. None of these things, of course, are wrong, but we can't do them all. And we exhaust ourselves trying to carry on doing all these things, which was easier when the churches were full a generation or so ago. Maybe we're better resting, thinking of doing fewer things, but doing them well. Second, food. God fed Elijah as he was hungry. The modern church needs to eat more. Eat together and socialize. Eat at the Lord's table. Eat as it's nourished by the word and the sacraments. When we eat together, we grow stronger. We get to know each other better, and we remind ourselves of those who are hungry so we can feed them too. when we gather at the Lord's table, we allow him to feed us with his very self. When we listen to the reading and the sermons, and when we read the Bible ourselves, we allow our souls to be fed so that we can feed others. And finally, God made Elijah see reality. He wasn't the only one left. There were kings in waiting, a prophet to be trained up, and 7,000 people who hadn't worshipped Baal. Church attendance is lower than it's ever been in Scotland, but we're still respected. People still want their funerals in church, and often their weddings. People are fascinated by spirituality. After all, we're created in God's own image, and we cry out for a connection with God. They may not see church as the place to find spirituality, but we all have people who we know, love and respect, and who know, love and respect us, and who will be intrigued by an invitation to explore God more. And we're better to do that than with his people in church. So, like Elijah of old, we can be tempted to have a pity party, to neglect our health, to fail to see things as they really are. Of course, this is sometimes due to illness and we need to see a doctor. Ensuring we're rested, well fed, and seeing things as they really are helps. As a church, we need to make sure we don't take too much on, that we're continually allowing ourselves to be fed, and that we see the possibilities that God gives us, so we see the communities around us as God sees them. Will you pray with me? Holy God, as of old when you tended to Elijah, help us to rest. Help us to be fed by your loving hands, and enable us to see the world as it really is, that we may be your people and point to your coming kingdom. Amen.